The time for singing has come. We have created Easter to remind us that there are mornings in our lives just as surely as there are nights. Spring comes every year after the dark and the cold of winter. Emily Dickinson knows, she says, a light exists in spring that science cannot overtake, but human nature feels. I have a little rhubarb plant some of you know about. I almost killed it out of sadness and despair over a decade ago when my sister died, but it kept coming back in spite of me. It rose again out of the ground at a time when my dead spirit was also, after a couple of years, was able to begin arising. And it now flourishes happily in sight of my kitchen window, reminding me that grace abounds, that I did not invent spring, and that my despair will not kill it, that my life has nights of suffering, and it also has mornings of resurrection and joy. There are other stories that help us remember this message. One of them begins when a little baby is born in the sweet hay of a humble barn on a winter night filled with signs and omens. 30 years after that, this Nazarene carpenter begins his ministry. It is only 3 years long, but it brings hope to multitudes. It has also brought hope and a lot of other things to multitudes for over 2,000 years. But that is not our story today. Jesus' teachings are radical, bending toward love and justice for all. He eats with drinkers and tax collectors and other undesirables. He speaks of God's rewards toward the meek and those who mourn and seekers after righteousness and the merciful and peacemakers. Sometimes he tells puzzling, unconventional little stories that seem to turn things on their heads, like the one about how everyone should get paid the same no matter how much work they've done in a given day. I still don't really get that one, but that's all right. At other times, he is crystal clear. The great commandment brought forth from Judaism is to love God with all one's heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one's neighbor as one's self. And lest there be any question, he tells us that our neighbor is even unto the person we despise the most. Jesus preaches love and forgiveness for all. He says that we all have a responsibility to feed, clothe, welcome, and tend all people, even unto the least of these. He loves and protects children. He speaks with authority. God's love is for all people. His followers rejoice in the morning that they can see dawning. And then the authorities take him in, and they hammer him onto a cross where he dies in agony. Imagine his followers' disappointment, grief so dark, so rending, that there are no words for it. Now comes the counterpoint to despair, the dawn of the terrible night. On the third day, Jesus arises from the dead. He appears to Mary Magdalene, popularly known as the prostitute, the woman almost stoned to death, the one from whom he cast demons. She goes and she tells the disciples, who, after a little period of so human disbelief, realize that the morning of hope is still with them, and they rejoice. Biblical literalists on both the right and the left make their own brand of hay with this story. But its literal truth or lack thereof is not the point. Mythic truth, poetic truth, speaks to our hearts and our souls. Hope came to earth in the form of a helpless, innocent baby. Hope walked the earth preaching unconditional love, preaching radical equality and justice. Hope was dashed and darkness overcame. And then, into this hopeless, dark night of the soul, morning reappears. First, to a woman with a past. A woman redeemed from the bondage of that past. Human life is just a hard thing a lot of the time. We always, always live in paradoxes. Loneliness and love. Resentment and gratefulness. Indifference and passion. Death and life. Dark and light. Pain and healing. All happening at exactly the same time. Leonard Cohen tells us, it doesn't matter which you heard, the holy or the broken. Hallelujah. He's telling us it doesn't matter if you are hearing the sorrow or the joy. Easter is here to remind us of the joy. On this joyous Easter morning, let us think of an Easter in our life. It doesn't have to be huge like the Jesus story, or huge like the story of coming out of a coma on Easter. Dawn comes in lots of intensities. Maybe a relationship that either began or descended into darkness, took us into sadness or despair or anger, and then returned to light. I'm thinking now of my deceased sister, who was 2.5 years younger than I. In 1985, when I moved from Seattle to Berkeley, California, to go to seminary, to theological school, I lived just 45 minutes from her for the first time since we'd been teenagers. We thought that this would be just great, but for a while it wasn't. Turns out, our childhood roles rose up to haunt us, activating complexes all over the place. We could hardly have a phone conversation without ragging on each other. So we went to see her therapist. We walked in and sat down, and the woman kind of blinked. She made polite therapist conversation for a bit, and then she said, "I'm getting all kinds of archetypes from you." After exploring a little, she said, "The biggest one is wizard. Your relationship is based on you," that's me, "operating as wizard in your," that's Kate's, "life." We blink then. But it was a supremely teachable moment. And we basically turned to each other with aha written on both of our faces. I had, at an extremely early age, unconsciously taken on responsibility for Kate's welfare. Our mom was just not so very nurturing to very small children. She just didn't know how. Well, that kind of responsibility requires magic powers if you're only 2 1/2. So Kate had, at an even earlier age, which is to say birth, unconsciously accepted that about me. We had not lived close to each other for many years, so the outgrown foundation of our relationship hadn't risen up as an irritant. There was definitely a woo-woo element to the whole exchange, but it changed Kate's and my life. We could both relax. Morning returned. Joy had some room to move. And for the next couple of years, while I finished seminary, we sang and walked and ate and cried and talked, loving that we had an island of those 2 years of living close to each other. O Lux Beatissima, O light most blessed that filled our inmost hearts. An element of the wizardish piece always remained, particularly when both of us grieved that my powers were not magical enough to keep her from dying. But her therapist's gift gave us over 10 years of love and light and a lot of fun. You've been there. Darkness has come upon you in ways large and small. And ultimately, morning has brought resurrection to your heart. The choir sang it to us. The time for singing a joyful song to light and life has come. The heart rejoices to meet the dawn, and hope is born to all anew. The Christian Easter story presents night and morning in a stark and intense way. And those of us who have recovered, very much in quotation marks, from the death of a loved one, come closer to that story then than at other times in our lives. But we all know that story in our souls, for we are all human. The divine mysteries of birth and life and death and rebirth are no strangers to us. Through our own efforts, through a lot of help from our friends, through blessed gifts of grace, we move from death to life, from dark to morning. This morning, I was meditating between 6:20 or 6:30 and 7 o'clock. It was dark when I sat down to begin. As I settled in, I called the directions and the elements, prayed for all of the people that I pray for, breathed my way toward awareness and peace. Light began to illuminate my eyelids. I heard the first robin, And then the other dawn welcoming songs. Morning has broken. Lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone.